What I'm going to talk about is the lessons learned. And I hope my English will be presentable enough that you can understand what I'm saying. This is a picture from our part of town in Drammen, multicultural part of it, on the United Nations Day. And the school convenes with all the banners from the different countries, and it's a picture of what and how our town is. So, how to be church in an environment where the demography, when people changes quite a lot over a short span of time. This is a picture from our town. Well, it's hard to see, I'm sorry to say. I don't know whether it's the projector or the light, but you can see the high-rise houses there, and also the fjord. It's not far from Oslo, it's 40 kilometers west of Oslo. Town of now about 100,000 people, and the percentage is about 25% people coming from 150 different nations over the world. So it's a multicultural society. So, and in this city, of course, the happenings and what's happening around the world, it will echo in our community. As Michael was kind enough to talk about, it was not only the characters of the prophet, it was also the earthquake in Kashmir, 2005, you maybe remember. 85,000 people perishing in this great event and earthquake. So there was a gathering of people wanting to support the Pakistani population in Drammen after this. So there was a service in the main church where people convened, praying and also collecting money to send to the Pakistani population on that side of the border, because obviously this was people from Pakistan. And then, of course, the caricatures. That really was manifest also, of course, in Denmark. You must have felt it. And also in Norway. So this kind of pushed us together, trying to find out what to do, how to be together in a way that could solve or at least ease the tensions building up. So a small group convened and signed a document of intention. We want to talk together. We want to stay together on a regular basis to try to mediate and help our population, our groups, to continue being friendly and parts of our society. So a lot of things happened. We started to celebrate Eid and Christmas together. It was same time almost at that time. So, and this developed to a meal of gratefulness and trying to stay together to celebrate the unity that we felt and the wish to be good neighbors. And then the Breivik attack, where our main area in Oslo, the government buildings, was attacked, and also a youth camp on Utøya. You maybe remember that. It was awful. And this was quite a shock, but it brought again, because it's very interesting that a pressure from the outside and things happening in the greater community pushes us somehow to understand how we as leaders and people of faith can support community. And this also happened to a great scale at that time. This is a youthful picture of me from 2011, where we convened, and again it was touching about the hymn today, celebrating the big bridge, you know, the Store Belt Bridge. We have a small bridge in Drammen. It's called Ypsilon. It's a pedestrian bridge over the river, because we have a river city town. We convened there with candles and roses and walked together to the main square, manifesting our togetherness as different people from different. You see the Sikh there from the Gurdwara. We had people from the mosques and we stayed together. And the day after, you wouldn't believe it, 25,000 people out in the streets with roses and candles, trying to show each other and everyone that this man, what he did, this horrendous act of terror, is not representative of what we, who we are and what we want. And this was manifesting all over the country. But Drammen was the first city, really, to do this, which is interesting, I think. So then we had, you know this, the New Zealand massacre. Rent to rent. What was interesting? A single man in Manchester stood outside his mosque with this placard saying, "I'll watch while you pray." What idiot? No. He was a neighbor. He wanted to statute an example. "I sympathize with you. No one should be attacked while praying." And this spread. So in Drammen, just a few days after, we stood outside the local mosque, seven mosques, with the same kind of placards, stating the same thing of sympathy and respect. And this action also spread throughout Norway. So, "Together in prayer, sammen I bønn" was the hashtag, and it spread all over. And then again, an attack on a mosque in the neighborhood of Drammen. A young man, inspired by Trent and also Breivik, attacked the mosque. Luckily, two elderly people tried, they managed to bring him, take him down, to knock him down, as a matter of fact, putting themselves on top of him. These were really tough guys, and he failed. But before he went to the mosque, he killed his sister, who was of Chinese origin. Horrendous. So, our neighboring mosque, the day after, for the Eid prayer, they asked to come to church because they felt insecure. So they had their Eid prayers in our church at Fjell, which again signals what we have done through the years to build trust and an understanding of we stay there together and help each other when needed. Okay, so this is just a quick glance of kind of the history and the pressures and the things happening in our community that we had to take care of and understand and do some action against, right? And this will happen very differently from place to place. So this is not a pattern that you should copy, of course, but this is a way to convey that things happen in community, things happen around the world that impacts us in a way that we have to react to it somehow, right? So how to do that? You have done it your way, right? You have experience in this. So this is my story and our story. I would like now to try to convey how we have built structures to take care of these initiatives, right? And this will also happen differently in different communities and neighborhoods and towns, obviously. But what happened just after the earthquake? This small Pakistani group wanted to establish a forum where we could sit together once a year, sharing a meal, having a guest of honor, and then talk around small tables. We call it gjestebud. Is that something you know in Denmark? Yeah? Food, good food, friendship. Yeah. So this has been going on since, every year. This is hopeless, of course, but you maybe see on the right side. So it's an annual dinner, and it's now organized as an association with a board, represented from different parts, from the local dialect forum, from the county, and also the municipality. So every year we convene to do this. And then the dialogue forum takes shape. And these pictures, if you see, you can see people from different origins. And we came together, supported by friends from Leicester. Some of you have been there. You maybe remember this man, Suleiman Nagdi, a Muslim leader in Mid-England. And then Shanti Hetiarachi, he's a Sinhalese from Sri Lanka. Peace researcher, great friends. As a matter of fact, I'm going to visit them now, Ingrid and I, from here for some days. So they helped us to paint a picture of how this togetherness and this structure could be. And there's a great deal to learn from England. And we tried to do the same thing. So now, at this moment, we are about 28 members in this, we call it a forum. It's not a council. It's a forum, and people, you may have all these slides afterwards where you can read them, because this is a little bit difficult to see this small print here. So 28 groups, and you will see 10 congregations. So it's not one voice, one religion. No. There's a forum where leaders from different congregations, different mosques, different groups come together to make this network function, right? Not to decide what to say and what to mean about things. Well, that can happen if we agree on it. But it's not a machine to publish things. This is a forum to sit together and build trust, right? So you'll see there's a lot of different groups. This would not have happened. Well, just a few things about what we do. What always happens is the board, the people meeting regularly, trying to facilitate these things, get very strong bonds together, getting into being great friends. And what we do, we call it life dialogue. Sitting around the table, everyone speaks his own experience on a specific topic. Could be religious, could be anything, but you know, talking stick, you know? One talks, nobody interferes. So this happens quite regularly. And then we have open meetings in the library and other places. And you see different things happening. Also being of advice to the municipality. Also having a voice to politicians and also the administration in topics they want to discuss. So we have a standing in the local community. This would not have happened, I think, without the national umbrella. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit now. What happened now? Oh, yeah. There. STL. The Samarbeidsrådet for Tros og Livssyn. Cooperating body. Organization of Faith and Life Stance. Life Stance is a, I don't know, you heard that? That word, Life Stance, Livssyn. It means by any, mostly the secular, the humanist, right? They're not a religion per se, but they take very much part in our discussions and in the forums. Life Stance. Life, what girl in Danish? Livssyn. Mm-hmm. That's not per se religious, right? Yeah. So, they formed since 96. An interesting thing, they came together because the Norwegian school system insisted in having the Christian faith as the main topic in the religious education system. And the minorities felt that very much unfair. So they came together and trying to establish a practice where also the minority groups could have their religion presented in a proper way. It went all the way to The Hague. And since this has been the hub of discussions and working on religious matters towards the administration of Norway, to the ministries. So, and the way they're established, you can see here again the list of members. And here it's for the Norwegian Church of Norway, irrespective of the fact that we represent about, well, 65-70% of the population, we have one voice. Okay? One voice. And the Buddhist Association, one voice. The Humanist, one voice. Etc. So you see the list here now. There are 15 faith communities. This picture is from the Royal Castle, 2015. where the king and queen invited everyone, bishops and representatives from all these groups, with youth, elderly people, and volunteers, and also people working, together on the tables having dialogue, and where I had the fortune to also organize a small cultural program, music, half an hour, which was a big experience, of course. It's not often you're invited to the Royal Castle to do this. But they're very active in their mediating and helping the different parts of the community to interact. Well, in Drammen again, in 2010, we started the festival, Drammen Sacred Music Festival, which is an annual 9 days festival, bringing people from all over the world to present the music. We have dialogues, we have films, we have exhibitions, with all the same aim, to bring people together, to get exposed to things they didn't know of, right? To listen to music they didn't even have heard of, but makes an impact. Because, of course, people from 150 nations, they need to be, you know, pushed together somehow. Well, pushed, drawn, or inspired to meet. So this is one of the things we do. So this is this year's logo. We just finished it 25th of September. So we have, it's a budget of 1 million Norwegian kroner. It's an own board, existing of different groups. We have the local dialogue forum, Church of Norway, municipal bodies, number of private people and organizations supporting this. And it's even now developed to be an international week in Drammen, that same week, where different other organizations, businesses, try to focus on this area, how to work in this multi-faith, multicultural society. When it comes to health, comes to security, comes to any topic, really. So that's an interesting thing, I think. This is also remarkable. We started a project in 2016 with the aim of getting 1,000 people from the immigrant, we call immigrant population, into work, because the percentage of people from that group going into work is smaller than the average Norwegian population. So big businesses, which have the leaders of them been great friends again now, they support us a lot, but we managed in 4 years, in cooperation with the municipality bodies and others, to make this happen, to lower the thresholds between the leaders of different businesses to invite and understand the process of getting new people, acknowledging the fact that differences makes dynamics that's fruitful to businesses. We tend to play with people we know and who are like ourselves, but this effort is about getting new people in, which was successful and is now implemented in the municipality as a system. I also want to mention, you probably have it in Denmark too, the church academies. No, it came from Germany after the war, where people were shocked about the fact that there was so big differences. People didn't talk together. So this is also an effort from Church of Norway. It's about 70 academies throughout Norway. We have one, and as I say, this is a way of arranging different kinds of arrangements and functions to bring people together and make people talk to each other, with each other, to learn how to act and live in the community of today. So it's not on theology solely, that too, but culture, politics, the meeting of church and community, really. It's very interesting, and I think that's an important work also in Drammen. And then I have to mention to you the YMCA. You have it in Denmark, you must have.
Yes.
They have now started a project a few years back, what they call the House of Change, Forandringshuset, which is a diaconal effort where they don't preach, but bring young people from exposed family, to put it that way, to be together and make a firm and safe ground for them to develop. And this has exploded. It's been spread all over Norway, and communities and municipalities take part in this because it's successful. So in very few years, they have advanced to be one of the real factors where people from the state also and the local municipalities see that this is really something worth doing. And we've been working with them quite a few years now in my community. So I'm now approaching, well, I'm doing well, really. Fantastic. Then I think I just take a step back, because you have to know that in Norway we have two kind of branches when it comes to dialogue initiatives. You remember what I said about the STL, the umbrella, the castle thing? No, the 15 different organizations, religious ones, coming together, forming a council. And what they do, they comment on politics. They comment on things going on a national level, and have the voice of presenting the religious or the faith community, faith lifestyles communities, views. Okay? And they have grants from the state. The interesting thing is that this is building up, it's growing. So they had originally just one person as a coordinator. It's been growing and growing, and I think they have now a staff of maybe 7. And the spokesperson, the general secretary, often I see is the chosen one to comment when things happening on a national scale. As much as, if not more, than the main bishop. Why? Obviously, because she is speaking on behalf of the whole religious community, not only the church. This is important to note. And this group, this council, this STL, they also support local dialogue initiatives around the country. It's not a formal structure. For the structure is really the council itself. But they have the staff, and they also get applications from all over the country. Also from them, from Drammen. So we got our funds from them in the beginning, and also still, to support our local dialogue work. So please try to keep that in mind. This is a national initiative coming from this council, this umbrella, national umbrella. On the other hand, obviously, we have the Church of Norway being the main faith community, being very much occupied of the fact that we want to be a facilitator and a place where people can meet, convene, and form a common community. Yes, we are a faith community. We have our services. We do our youth work, etc., what you do. But as you do, you have diacons, you have people connected to social work, and etc. So the Church of Norway very much also want to be active and facilitate this. So, beginning with a place in Oslo in the 90s, supported by Areopagus. You know Areopagus? Of course, it's Norwegian-Danish. Missionary organization working primarily in Hong Kong, China, with Buddhists, right? But Reichelt, the starting or the initiative figure back in the days, he came as a conservative, well, traditional missionary. But he very soon experienced the value of talking and understanding the views and the Buddhist teaching and living, right? So there's an impulse in Areopagus to support dialogue. So Areopagus started this in Oslo, and it was then taken over by the diocese of Oslo, and it has since spread. So now the idea is that every diocese, we have 11 dioceses in Norway, and the idea is that in every diocese, bispedømme, stift, yeah, we should have a dialogue center. At present, we have 5. And as I say here, it's financially supported from different church parts of the church, centrally, and also from the diocese, from the stift. It's enough to cover about half our work. I mean, what do you call it? Half a position. Half my salary comes from the church. And I need to get the rest of the money from elsewhere. If I'm very, very good at it, I could get so much money that I could have projects and then hire more people. So in the 5 church dialogue centers, there are different staffs, depending on how much money you get from different grants and projects. But the idea is that we would like, the Church of Norway would like to have one center like this in every diocese, every stift. Now we have 5, as I said, in Bergen, in Drammen, in Oslo, Stavanger, Trondheim. And then we have an interesting forum in Borg, which is on the border to Sweden, south. The bishop there managed to get a cooperation with a group of mosques. So it's basically a cooperation between Church of Norway and this group of mosques in that part. So it's a little bit different, but it gets the same grants from the Church of Norway and also from state. And we apply for grants from the state and get some. This year, I just saw that we in Drammen got 200,000 kroner from the state, which we get regularly. We have 300,000 from the diocese, and we have different grants on top of that. Okay, so this is the kind of the second branch. And the dilemma, obviously, is when we, in my practice here, in Drammen, what do I do? Of course, I was part of starting the initial dialogue forum in 2007, right? So the church is facilitating and church people are doing what they can to bring people together and form this forum, which is in the STL branch, right? At the same time, as church, we try to facilitate and work both with church members, with deans and deaneries, prostier, and also with the local faith communities, faith sogn, right? Parishes. Yes, I know better to say in Danish. It's sogn, yes. So, what to make of that? Should we compete? Should we stick to getting money for the church actions? Or should we be community and working with the STL people? Obviously both. So in the board of my church center, they're sitting people from Drammen that's also advisors in STL. We're the same people. He's a Baptist, you know? So, but this is still a dilemma because the state would like, okay, when they ask about faith questions and politics, they ask STL. Of course, the bishops too, because they like to, because we get our support from the state. You see, there's a tension there. There's an interesting dynamics. And we felt it also when we started the dialogue forum back in 2008. I talked to Michael last night about this. Because there was a feeling from some, if we facilitate this council of different faiths in Drammen, where will the voice of the church be? Will it be one or many? Shouldn't we stick to the majority position and say, no, it's the church. We're the people here. And then again, we probably have to draw on our theology. We are here for our neighbors. We are here for the people from outside. So being active, faithful Christians, being a priest, preaching the gospel every week, I also do my utmost to facilitate the general speak and the actions in the community. And I could talk for hours about all the dilemmas and all the, well, conflicts also arising in the domain of theology and then social work. But there we are. That's what we do. That's what we want. So God help us. Thank you.
Tusind tak, Ivar, for dit oplæg. Og det er jo rigtigt, som vi snakkede om i går, at det her kan vi jo snakke om i dagvis. Og nu er det lidt, nu skal vi have snakket ud i grupperne. Vi har bedt Niels Hvid, som er sognepræst, migrantpræst, og som også holder oplæg i eftermiddag, som formand for Fredens Moské, eller hvad hedder det, Fredens Hus projektet. og for ligesom at åbne debatten op ude i grupperne, så Niels, vil du ikke stille et par spørgsmål, som vi vil bede Iver om og besvare som optakt til, at vi så sender bolden ud til jer i grupper, som arbejder med nogle spørgsmål, som vi så får op på tavlen med hjælp fra Ane. Først dig, Niels.
Yes. Altså, jeg har egentlig to spørgsmål, og det ene er så meget direkte spørgsmål til dig, Ivor, og det andet spørgsmål, det er måske sådan et spørgsmål, vi virkelig tager blevet i grupperne, så jeg ved ikke rigtig, hvad der passer med her. Skal jeg prøve at vække så? Ja. Ivor, det ene spørgsmål, jeg har til dig, og måske svarer du lidt på det lige i det allersidste, du sagde. Men hvorfor valgte I i Drammen ikke at lave et... i Østfold, i Bold, der har de lavet et interreligiøst dialogcenter. Men I valgte at lave et kirkeligt dialogcenter i Drammen. Hvorfor tog I det valg? For I kunne vel have lavet et interreligiøst dialogcenter. Eller hvad? Det er sådan det ene spørgsmål direkte til dig, som jeg tænker godt kunne guide os lidt i, når vi eksperimenterer i det her felt. For eksempel en kloge valg. Det andet spørgsmål, eller som måske gælder os alle sammen i grupperne, men også til dig. Du fortæller om den her stærke passion i mødet mellem mennesker, i samtaler, følelse af, når der sker noget i verden, så må vi handle, vi må gøre noget. Så der er noget passion, og så skal der noget struktur. Og spørgsmålet er, hvordan undgår vi at arbejde med strukturen, ikke dræber personen? Lille spørgsmål.
Is it continued in English?
Yes, you have to continue in English.
Okay, I hear Norwegian here. It's a good question. I think, again, we're prone to react to what we know and possibilities given. And you have to know that the STL structure, it was formed from 1996. And when we started the initial forum, it was initiated because of a couple of Muslim friends had been on the seminar with STL in Oslo. And they came back to Drammen and said, we have to do this. And they said, no, we do with the church and mosque. These two is enough. That's a forum. I said, wait. We need to have a broader group. Let's hurry in a slow fashion. That's why we tried to form a group consisting of different groups. This was the first initiative. And raising from this, in 2018, that's quite a few years, our work on these topics and projects that we just talked about had reached a level where I felt that my work as a priest, I had to juggle both these things, these initiatives, the dialogue work and then the priest work as a minister, as Sogne Prest, which was too much. And then I figured how to get funds to free myself to be able to work more on the dialogue, because that was obviously what I was meant for in some sense. It's a calling, somehow. So, and to fund this, I followed the step of Areopagos and what I've seen before, because there were four centers before me. Oslo, Bergen, Stavanger. No, three, I'm sorry, three. We were the four. So I managed to get, grudgingly, a small fund from the diocese, and then got some money from other sources, and then we started it in 2018. At that point, I didn't see any body or any organization strong enough financially or otherwise to be part of this cooperation in a real way. And also, of course, you must find out what is the aim. And I think the diocese and also my colleagues meant that maybe we should focus more on our own people, opening up for dialogue, thinking, and work within church. Because we have the same struggle within church of accepting this kind of work. So there you are. It could have been different, but it wasn't. I've had high hopes on both single persons and groups in Drammen to be able to be part of this in a more active way. But it's difficult. Obviously, because there are not the same resources as we have as priests and majority church and funds. So that's the way it is. Yeah.